over August. We're doing a series where we're going through some Psalms together. I've called it Songs of Experience, the series. Partly the reason for doing that is obviously as we go through the summer, various people are on holiday and therefore you're not necessarily around for a whole series, and therefore the Psalms are quite good because they're one-off things. But also, the Psalms are a wonderful place to go, because in it we learn how we can approach God. They kind of give us the words to use to approach God, no matter what our circumstances, whether we're happy, whether we're sad, whether whatever we're going through. And therefore, as you come through the summer with us, we'll pick on different passages and therefore different experiences and how we can talk to God about them. Well, let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we come to think about Psalm 103. Father, please would you teach us this morning. Please help us that you would change us, that we would become a church and become people who bless you and praise you, not just with our lips, but with our hearts and with our souls. Father, please be at work in us this morning. Amen. Thank you letters. You have to do thank you letters, don't you, when you get a present. We've already seen people with August birthdays, and we've heard they're probably going to get presents. I hope you do, if it's your birthday this month. But you then have to write thank you letters. I wonder whether you like writing thank you letters. Do you enjoy writing thank you letters? Maybe some do. I've got some shakes of heads. It depends what the present is, I find. It does depend what the present is, as to how much you enjoy writing the thank you. You should do the thank you anyway, of course. But it does depend what the present is. Let me tell you about two presents that I've received in the past. One present, it was a Christmas present. And unwrapped it. I mean, you're always excited when you unwrap presents. And I was delighted to find some socks. It was these exact socks that I got. It was from a relative, and well, you know, when it came to writing the thank you letter for the socks, well, it wasn't that fun. I mean, you know, you write, you know, dear, thank you for the socks, you're very thoughtful, generous, I don't know. Well, you think of something to write, don't you? You're very imaginative, I don't know. But you thank them for the socks. And I wanted to thank them. It wasn't that I didn't. I was grateful. But, you know, it was all right writing that thank you. The other present that I got, this was a little while back before we had children, and a relative gave us an envelope. And in that envelope was something that I thought was brilliant. It was exciting. It was one of the best presents I'd ever had. Opened up the envelope and took it out, and there was a voucher in there to go and stay in a nice hotel for a couple of nights. And I was buzzing about that present, and we went and we enjoyed it and we had a fantastic time. Now, writing that thank you letter was completely different. I wanted to write the thank you letter. I was keen to. I just wanted to write to them to say thank you so much. And it wasn't, you know, I didn't have to think of what to say. It just flowed out. You just say, thank you so much. You're so generous, so kind to us to have given us that present. It was great of you. Thank you so much. You see, how much you want to thank and how much you actually want to praise, because there's praise in there. Praise is me saying, you're so generous, you're so kind, you did this, thank you so much. The willingness or the delight to do that depends a bit on how much you, on what you've been given. I wonder, how much do you praise God? And where does that praise come from? At the beginning of the psalm that we just had read, that Phil just read for us, it says this. Have a look at it. Page 605. Ah, we're lacking a few Bibles. Could Fran's mum, could you... I almost just called you mum there. Could we have some down at the front? Cara is not my mum. Anyone else need a Bible? Shannon, do you want a Bible? Would it be great? It would be good to have one. Oh, hey, going technological there. Page 605. Good to have it. Well done. Thank you, Mum. Okay, beginning of the Psalm, page 605, Psalm 103. It says this. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then just go over one page, so page 606, and see what it says at the end of the psalm. So I'm going to start at verse 20. It says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So what's the psalm about? It begins and it ends in exactly the same way. It begins and ends with, praise the Lord, O my soul. In other words, this is David, King David, writing, and he's saying, he's talking to himself, which is a good thing in this case. He's talking to himself and he's sort of preaching to himself and he's saying, come on, my soul, all that's in me, praise God. You should be doing this. And yet so often for us, when we praise God, we sing that song that we've just sung. Sometimes we can say, ah, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we just sing it and it's like God's given us socks. And we thank God like he's not really given us very much. And yet this psalm at the beginning and at the end, it's sort of like David is saying, come on, I should be praising God so much more. How? How do you go from praising God in a kind of just your lips kind of way to a praising God that bubbles up from inside and just overflows? How do you do that? How can you get yourself going in praising God? We're going to think about three things from the psalm. There could be many more things. The first is this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, for all he's done for you. It says that in verse 2, doesn't it? Have a look again. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Sorry, you're back a page. That's it, page 605. Verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, that's saying, remember all that God has done, is doing, will do for you. Remember all that God's done for you. And don't forget, everything that you have, all that you are, all that I have, all that I am, all comes from God. Every single bit of it. Everything you have, all that you are, comes from God. Now, our temptation will be to think, no. Everything that I have, I've done that. I'm the one who's done these things. Maybe I'm the one who's earned the money to get those things. It's all really me. A couple of verses from Deuteronomy to help us with that thought. They are these. Just follow it as I read on the screen. It says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. So that's God speaking through Moses to the Israelites, and he's saying, you will come to a point where you will think you've done everything, that you've produced everything, that you've done it with your hands and with your strength, and you've produced it all. But remember God, it's he who's given you the ability to do the things that you do. And that's really important. So, God's given you the eyes to watch TV, the feet to play football, the skill to do cross stitch, the brain and hands to do work, the breath we breathe, the friends we meet, everything that we have comes from God. And therefore, will you take time every day this week, maybe when you see that ribbon, also to praise God and thank God for all he has given you? Will you take time, a good time to do it, beginning of meal times? Do you do that? That you thank God for your food, but you could add on other things, couldn't you? I mean, you don't want the prayer to go on too long or your food will go cold. Maybe you should always have cold meals. That's a way of dealing with that, isn't it? Then your prayers can go on as long as you want. But you can add extra things in there, can't you? Just little things. Can I encourage you, whatever stage you're at, you can do that. Dads, could I encourage you to set the spiritual temperature of your household? Would you take the lead in this? At mealtimes, you say, come on guys, let's thank God for our food. Let's thank God for other things as well. It doesn't have to be great long things. You may feel really intimidated doing that. You're like, that's a really big thing. Dads, would you give it a go anyway? You'll feel maybe first time the words don't come out quite right. Maybe write it down beforehand subtly. You can read it out. Doesn't matter. Just give it a go. Praise God. Set the spiritual temperature of your household. It's a challenge for me as well. But you could do it at other times. We can praise God for all kinds of things. Children, you've had school reports recently. Now, one of the things that you do on school reports, which I never used to do, and I don't think most of the grown-ups did, is that you write your own reports. Brilliant, isn't it? You can say whatever you like about yourself. Well, you don't write the whole report. But you do write down things that you think you're good at, don't you? So you might say, I'm good at being creative, or I'm good at maths, or I'm good at whatever it may be, literacy, or whatever it is. And your temptation when you come home is to think, yep, that's me. I'm good at those things. Don't forget, praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good to be excited about those things, but praise the Lord for them. And say, thank you, God, that you've given me the ability to do this, because it all comes from God. Or maybe if you're on your way to work, maybe you're a bit older than school age, on your way to work, you can praise God for giving you the ability to do what you're doing. Maybe you can praise God for family, for friends, for whatever it may be. Praise God. I long for us that we would be a church that praises God more and more. That we do it together, as we gather together to pray on first Wednesday of the month and on our prayer breakfast. But that we do it individually as well, and in families, and wherever it is that we praise God. Well, we're going to do it a bit now, because we're going to sing a song. And the song we're going to sing, I know some people don't delight in this song, but nevertheless, the truth is really important in there. We may not do it again, but the truth is really important in there. So we are going to sing this, and then we're going to do it a bit differently. So we're going to sing it through first time. Don't forget, stay seated for this one, I think. There are actions to go with it, so you can do the action still sitting down. So it's God is good to me, God is good to me. He gives me lips to eat my chips. God is good to me, oh yes. And then next verse, I won't go through them all again, but it's jelly to fill your belly. God is good to me, oh yes. And then we'll do it a bit differently. Okay, so we can stay seated, but do the actions. Try to sing loud even though you're sitting down. That would be great.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me lips to eat my chips. God is good to me.
Oh, yes.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me jelly to fill my belly. God is good to me.
Oh, yes.
We have the next one. Now, I was wondering whether you guys could help us, because I know some of you didn't like some of those words. That's all right. Can you think of ways that, can you fill in the blanks? Can you write another verse for us? So can you think of ways to fill it out? So God is good to me, God is good to me. He gives me what? Because there are so many things. You could come up with other things. If you can get it to scan and rhyme, that'll make it easier for the rest of us when we sing. That'll be delightful. And if you can think of actions to go with it as well, that would be terrific. Now, if you don't want to do this for any reason, that's fine. Just talk to your neighbour about the ways God has blessed you. So many things that we can give thanks to God for. But if you can come up with some, that would be brilliant. Yes, Fran, go for it.
He gives me family to love me dearly.
Family to love me
dearly.
Dearly. Great, like it. Claire.
He gives me love from up above.
Oh! Spontaneous round of applause. There's prayers going on there for you as well. Love from up above. Okay, next one.
He gives me sight to see his glorious majesty.
Have we added in extra? He gives me sight to see his glorious majesty. Okay, well, if it fits, it'll be great. Hang on. Okay, next one.
He gives me feet to stomp the beat.
Oh, I like it. Gives me feet to, say it again, to
stomp
a beat. I love the variety of what we got going there.
He puts my sin right in the bin.
Oh, Okay. Yeah, go for it.
He gives me time to make this rhyme.
Not enough time there, eh? To make this rhyme.
He gives me some to have some fun.
He gives me... hang on, I haven't finished spelling rhyme. He gives me sun, was it? To have some fun. Should we go with... how are we doing? Yeah, go on then, Cara.
He gives me a dog to help me jog.
He gives me bed to rest my head.
Oh, say it again. Didn't catch it all.
He gives me bed to rest my head.
Oh, great. Gives me bed to rest. Okay. We got one last one.
He gives me eyes to see the skies.
Eyes to see. Skies. Great. Thank you. Six, eight, nine, seven. Right. We've got 10 of them. Might have to be a bit selective. Okay. I don't know whether we've got actions. If you can make up actions for them, then that would be great. Okay, so we're going to sing them now, all right? So I'm going to have to remind you what they are, and then you're going to have to remember, okay? So, he gives me... So, God is good to me, God is good to me. He gives me family to love me dearly. Let's go for that one first, all right? Ready?
God is good to me, God is good to me. He gives me family to love me dearly. God is good to me.
Oh, yeah. He gives me love from up above.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me love from up above. God is good to me.
Oh, yeah. I might miss out that next week. I'm not sure that it quite stands with what we're doing, but I may be wrong. Let's do feet to stomp a beat. I like that one. You can do a bit of stomping if you want. Okay.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me feet to stomp a beat. God is good to me.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He puts my sin right in the bin.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He puts my sin right in the bin. God is good to me.
Oh, yes. Time to make this rhyme? Okay.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me time to make this rhyme. God is good to me.
Oh, yes. Sun to have some fun.
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me sun to have some fun. God is good to me.
Oh, yes. Okay, we'll just do one more. Let's go for bed. So he gives me bed to rest my head. Okay?
God is good to me. God is good to me. He gives me bed to rest my head. God is good to me.
Oh, yes. And... thank you for all that you have said there. But let's keep praising God for all that he has given us. And you could carry this on at home, maybe. You know, if you've got little children, or not. You can carry on writing this song and keep going at it. And submit your verses. And we'll see where we go with that. So, we are to praise God for all that he gives us. For all that we have and all that we are. So, we've got to praise God for all he's done for you. Two more things, and they'll be a bit quicker. Two more things from the verses that we are to praise God for. For removing our sins. Now, we've already sung about that. That was brilliant to have that. That he puts our sin right in the bin. God is good to me. But it comes over and over again in the psalm. Open up the psalm again, please, to page 605. Psalm 103. Says, again from the beginning, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So it comes over and over again in the psalm that God heals our, that God forgives our sins. Healing diseases, we could talk about that another time. God does heal us in this life. Whenever you get better, that's God at work. But there are some things that we won't get better of in this life, but we will in the life to come. That we will have, for those who trust in Christ, we will have perfect, glorious bodies. But God forgives our sins, takes them from us. It comes over and over again in the psalm, but we're going to focus, turn the page, please. And we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. This is a wonderful poetic way that David uses of describing this. Verse 11, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." So that's David saying, God loves us so much. Have you ever done this with your parents, or anyone ever done it with you? You know, I love you this much. I love you more than this. I love you more than that. Interestingly, God joins in with this. He says, I love you so much. My love for you is greater than the skies are above the earth, but higher than the heavens are above the earth. I love you more than you can imagine. How do we see God's love? Well, it flows into verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In other words, God takes our sin and he takes it far away. He removes it from us and gets rid of it completely. It's not that he takes it and puts it somewhere. Well, he does actually. He takes it and puts it on Jesus, doesn't he? But he gets rid of it. He removes it. We might say God takes our sin, puts it in a rocket, sends it throughout into outer space and just gets rid of it. It's just gone. How does that show God's love for us? Well, what did it take for God to remove our sin from us? It took Jesus dying for us. It's the ultimate act of love that Jesus gave his life for you and me so that our sin could be removed. God says it's gone. So when God looks at you, what does he see? Does he see a sinner? Does he see someone who is weighed down by sin? Well, maybe that's how you feel, but actually, if you're a Christian, God has removed that sin. It is not on you. So when he sees you, he just sees an innocent, completely innocent, pure person with no sin, not a speck of it on you. If you've trusted in Christ, your sin is gone. Now that is great news. That is something to praise God from. That is something to say to yourself, to your soul, praise God. Do you still praise God for that? If you've been a Christian many years, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, however many years, do you still praise God from your soul that he has removed your sin? It's a great thing that God did for us. Third thing, for his love that lasts forever. If you just keep looking down in the verses, the next verse, verse 15, says this: as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. What's that saying about people? What's that verse saying about you and me? It's saying that our lives are brief. That we're like the grass of the field, like the flowers of the field. It grows up, it looks great, but then it dies. And it's not there anymore. Or you could say, be a bit like this. I'm sure some of you will be using this kind of thing in the next few weeks. If you're going on holiday, if you're going to the beach, maybe you go and you like building sandcastles. Imagine two brothers, one called Andy, one called James. And they're off on their summer holidays, and they go down to the beach. And one afternoon, they decide to build sandcastles. And they decide that they're going to have a competition to see which of them can build the best sandcastle. Well, it's not long before others on the beach, other children on the beach, start joining in. And so others want to build their sandcastles to see if they can do the best one. And it's not long before you've got a dozen children all building their sandcastles, one next to the other. And some of them are getting really good. The girls, some of them are looking for just the right shells to put in just the right places to make them look really good. And some of the boys are building big moats around theirs and dashing off to the sea to get water to put in the moat to fill it up. And some of them are looking amazing. Halfway through the afternoon, one of them goes a bit wrong and you've got a child who gets a bit upset. At the end of the day, there's a mixture of feeling. Some are feeling really proud of what they've done. Others are thinking, well, I wish I'd done what they'd done. Mine's good, but I wish I had what they had. And others are just upset that it all went wrong. The next day, they all come down to the sea, to the beach, to see what's left. and there's nothing. The good ones have gone. The not such good ones have gone. All the shells have been swept away. The moats, they've been filled in. It's all gone. And the verse says that's a bit like us. We are brief in this life. But if that's where the verse ended, that would just be really depressing. We wouldn't be praising God. We'd just go home going, oh, man, that's right. But, verse 17 is a wonderful, wonderful verse. Whenever I take a funeral, I read these verses out. And I love it when you get to verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Our lives are brief. We're a bit like grass. We're a bit like sandcastles. But the Lord's love stretches on forever on those who fear him. You can last forever. You can live forever in the light of God's wonderful love. Because his love lasts forever. Our lives are brief. And we may spend our whole lives treating it as if this life is all there is. So we'll put a lot of shells on, or we'll do a lot of moat building. And we might come to the end of it feeling very proud of it. Maybe you're at a stage at the moment in your life where you think, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to be like in the future. I don't know what job I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to achieve. Maybe at the moment you're thinking, and some of these questions are things we thought about on the day away that we had when Martin Cooper spoke. Some questions that he raised. So he raised questions like, maybe some of us here are feeling, am I really doing what I should be doing? Have I got my priorities right? Should I change what I'm doing? Should I change my job? Should I change where I live? Should I change this, that, the other? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the most fulfilling thing? Maybe some get to a point where you think, actually, my flourishing is behind me. And did I really achieve all I could have done? Maybe there are regrets. Maybe there's pride. But the biblical perspective is this. What the Bible says is this. This life is brief. But if you're a Christian, you live for eternity. This life is the introduction. The life to come is the main event. And that makes a massive difference. So you don't have to achieve all your dreams in this life. It's great if you can achieve some. But you don't have to achieve them all. Because this life is the introduction. The life to come is the real one. Now, that doesn't mean to say that what we do in this life is insignificant. It is significant. It's really important what you do in this life, but we've got to have that eternal perspective there, haven't we? And we can praise God from the center of our being that his love stretches on forever. It'll last longer than Barclays Bank. It'll last longer than England. It'll last longer than the Queen. It'll last longer than anything. God's love lasts forever. And we can praise him for it. Now notice in the verses, very briefly, this isn't true for those who aren't Christians. It says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and obey his precepts. And there's more that could be said on that. Fearing God, that's being in awe of God. It's not terror of God, but it's in awe of God, knowing that God's power and holiness mean that I wouldn't dare to run away from God, but I would just want to get near him. But yet there's an awe there, and a respect and a reverence for God. His covenant? Well, that's the covenant Jesus achieved by his blood, by dying for us, so that we can be forgiven. And obeying him, that's what flows out of receiving God's forgiveness. You see, it's got to make a difference in our lives, trusting God. See, God's love is with those who fear him. And therefore, if you're not a Christian today, you need this. Without Jesus, our lives are just like grass, just like flowers. But with Jesus, our lives last forever. And if you're a Christian today, will you praise God? Will you praise God not like he's given you socks? Because he hasn't. He's given you socks and everything else you've got. Remember all that he's given you. Remember that he has forgiven you. And remember that his love lasts forever. Now that is great cause to praise God from your soul. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we can praise you from our souls. Father, where our souls are dull and not alive to praising you, Father, would you wake us up? Father, would you help us to remember all that you have given to us? Father, would you help us to delight in the fact that you have forgiven our sins? Would you help us to delight in the fact that your love lasts forever? And therefore, Father, please, would our souls, our hearts, flow over with praise for you, because you are such a great God. You are so generous to us, and you love us so much. Amen.